Good morning. Welcome to Word of Life this morning. Today, here it's Sanctity of Life Sunday.
God's word today comes to us from the Gospel of Matthew chapter 2. When Herod saw that the wise men had tricked him, he became furious. He sent soldiers to kill all the boys 2 years old and younger in or near Bethlehem. This matched the exact time he had learned from the wise men. Then the word spoken through the prophet Jeremiah came true. A sound was heard in Ramah, the sound of crying and bitter grief. Rachel was crying for her children. She refused to be comforted because they were dead. This is the word of God. Life is an amazing gift from God, and human life is sacred. It's created by God, and we are created in God's image. But sometimes I take that life for granted, and sometimes I don't stand up and defend that life as I should. So I'm going to be honest with God about that. I'm going to confess that sin and other sins before God, and I encourage you to do the same, because God promises that when we confess our sins, God is faithful and just and forgives our sins. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear God, we're not as shocked as we should be at the death of so many children. We can forget that life is your creation, not a matter of choice. Our whole country has devalued the sanctity of human life. Our response to victims of abortion, both children and parents, has been inadequate. We have not often reached out to hurting women with your amazing grace. For these sins and others, forgive us. God has good news for me and for you today. Your sins, my sins, are forgiven in the name and the power of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Let's rejoice in that forgiveness, in the love that God has for us, the grace and favor that He shows to us by singing our next song about God's amazing grace, His reckless love for us.
Reckless love of God. lie, you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie, you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie, you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie, you won't tear down, coming after me. And oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the 99, and I couldn't earn it, and I don't deserve it. Still you give yourself away. Oh, save my life. Yes, the blood, it is my victory.
It's time for the children's message. Come on up. All right. It does look like somebody's birthday. Wow, all these presents. All right, so what do you think's in the box? I have no idea. Do you remember what the rule is about the box? Yes, you can bring... And something about a dinosaur. Nothing alive or recently alive. A dinosaur wouldn't be recently alive. So we have here something really nifty. And it's made out of nails. It's only made out of nails. What do you think it is?
The cross of Jesus.
That's exactly what it is. It's the cross of Jesus. Very good. Yeah. So what can you tell me about the cross of Jesus and about nails? Yes, Kenzie. You can build stuff with nails. What else, Parker? Yeah, can you imagine? They put nails probably right here, right in this little notch between your radius and ulna, those two bones, and it went right through there into the wood. It would hurt a lot, a whole lot. Yes. It was heavy for the cross to carry, right? It was so heavy, he was almost beaten to death before he even was asked to move his cross. A lot of people didn't even survive the beatings like he got. But he did survive, and he carried the cross until his human person just by himself couldn't do it anymore. And so they had to have somebody else carry his cross for him. What else do you know about the cross or about nails? Here's one. Only the worst of the criminals were killed by being hung on a cross. It was considered only for the worst of the worst, and because it was an instrument of torture. It was very painful and took a long time for people to die. It was used in such a way that it caused people to suffer for a very long time. Yes. I'm sorry? You can hang stuff with nails. That's right, yes. Yeah, so before Jesus was put on that cross, there are some people who mocked him because he was a king, right? But people didn't recognize that he was a king, and so they made a crown of thorns and they jammed it onto his head. It would have been very painful too, and not very nice. Anything else about the cross? Jesus died on a cross, this instrument of torture and this pain, but that really just symbolizes a little bit of the suffering that Jesus went through. The biggest part of his suffering was when he was separated from God, when he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Now, why would God forsake his son, Jesus? Does God ever forsake us?
Nope.
But he would have had he not forsaken his son. Because the punishment for sin, you know what the punishment for sin is? It's being forsaken by God, being forgotten by God, not getting any of his benefits or his blessings. And so Jesus on the cross goes through that punishment and is forgotten by God, and the blessings of God are pulled away from him. And that was the worst part of the suffering yet. Yeah, it hurt when he had nails put in his wrists and his hands, but that was the worst of it, is his own father turned away from him because he had all of our sins upon him, and that was what was required. That was the payment for the punishment for your sins and for mine. But because Jesus died on the cross, there's one thing that we have now that we didn't have before. What is it? Jesus dies on the cross, and he gives us something. What does he give to us because he died on the cross? Yes. Life. And before that, forgiveness. Yeah. And freedom. Yeah, because whenever we're forgiven of our sins, we are now free from sin, and we are free from the demands of the law.
We're free from punishment, and we're free to do good. Free to do good things to please God and to do His desires. So lots of great things that happen because Jesus died on the cross for us. Now, did Jesus stay dead on the cross? No. They took Him down, they buried Him, and then what happened? After they buried Him. So, yeah, He went into Hades, right? And what else after that? Yes. He rose from the dead. He rose from the dead. And so that shows that He's victorious over sin and death and the power of the devil. It shows us that we have freedom from sin and death. It shows us a lot of things. And He ascended into heaven where He still is, and He rules over all things. But even though He rules over everything in heaven, He comes to us in special ways through His Word and the things that He has specially connected His Word to, like baptism and the Lord's Supper. So through the Word, and we call those things sacraments, He comes to us in a very special and very close and intimate way. So let's thank God for the cross and for the sacrifice that He made upon it and for the freedom that we have and the forgiveness and life that we have through Him. Dear God, thank You for Your Son, Jesus Christ, who was nailed to a cross. Thank You that He went through all my punishment for all my sins to give me life, freedom, and forgiveness. You are a wonderful God who loves us more than anyone. Thank You. In Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to just start right off and get into our text today in Matthew. Matthew chapter 2, beginning with verse 16. When Herod saw that the wise men had tricked him, he became furious. He sent soldiers to kill all the boys 2 years old and younger in or near Bethlehem. This matched the exact time he had learned from the wise men. Now, this is just morally reprehensible. A terrible thing. Why does Herod do this? He does this because he's afraid. He's afraid that this boy will someday become king and take away a part of his kingdom. And he doesn't want that to happen. And we learned a couple of weeks ago when we looked at the Epiphany and the coming of the wise men, how Herod was ready to kill his own family members, his own children, and his wife, one of many wives, but his favorite wife. And so he's willing to do all this. But the crazy thing is, he goes through with this and kills these young boys, and we don't hear anything about it. Maybe they needed somebody like Peter Paul Rubens, who did a pretty famous picture called The Massacre of the Innocents. It's a very shocking image, I warn you. It's a little graphic, and it is printed for you on the next page of your note sheet. If you'll take a look at that real quickly, we won't spend time on it because it turns my stomach, and I can't look at it too long. The guy on the far right-hand side who looks like he's got maybe a towel upraised in his hands, that's not a towel. That's a baby. Down below, you can see there's sort of a sharp ledge on that little pillar or whatever that is, and blood on it, and what's by his feet are the babies he's already killed. And you have a mom clutching on to a baby while another man's trying to drag her to the executioner here, and another man with a sword, and there's just all kinds of violence. And like I said, I can't even look at this picture for very long. It's a shocking picture. And you know, in Scripture, we never hear that there was any kind of moral outrage. There's no, wow, Herod, you're a bad guy. You should stop doing this. And there are probably a couple of reasons for that. Some people knew that Herod was a strong and hard man, and he probably caused them to be killed. He's killed many more before him. He could kill you too. They also knew that he had the ear of Rome. As long as he was doing things that helped Rome, they didn't much care what he did to his own family or to the people that he was supposed to be ruling over. Or it could be that they just looked the other way. Where is the moral outrage? Well, where is the moral outrage today? The moral outrage for the death that keeps on happening and hardly anybody talks about. Herodism
is rampant today. In the United States, 2,538 children per day are killed through abortion. That's 926,200 per year. And I guess this is good news. That number is dropping compared to previous years. It's dropped rather substantially. It's still, though, 926,200 children who will never see the light of day. 61.5 million births have been terminated since 1973. So that many children have died by legalized abortion. 190 abortions. This is the latest statistic. I don't think it was last year. I think it was the year before. 190 abortions were performed for every 1,000 live births. That's about one out of every six pregnancies are ended by abortion. And here's some more good news. I remember 15 years ago preaching a sermon where I reported that one out of three pregnancies since 1973 had ended in abortion. And I remember a visual that just put a dagger through my heart. And the visual was this. It was a classroom, a school classroom, and there were three rows of chairs. Three rows of chairs, or three columns of chairs. And maybe about, I don't know, four or five, a small classroom, four or five in each row. And one third were empty. The other two thirds had kids in them. One third was empty. Caption was something like, one third didn't survive abortion. One third didn't survive abortion. 93% of abortions are performed for convenience, not for health reasons. 3% for the safety of the mother, 3% because of a birth defect that the family decides then to end the pregnancy, and then 1% in cases of rape and incest. But 93% just choose. An unknown author said this about that. We have the terrible spectacle of so-called mothers and would-be mothers begging Herod to come and destroy the life that God has created in them. Herodism is rampant here in the United States. And it has many, many victims, not just the kids, not just the children. Jeremiah 32:35. And then they went out and built shrines to the god Baal in the valley of Hinnom, where they burned their children in sacrifice to the god Moloch. I can hardly conceive of such evil, turning the whole country into one huge act of sin. Abortion's not a new thing. Killing children is not a new thing. It's been done for ages. And Jeremiah is speaking out against the children of Israel because they have adopted some of the religious practices of the day, of their area. And they had this reprehensible practice of sacrificing their very own flesh and blood, their very own children, in order that their crops would grow better, in order that marauding bands wouldn't affect them, in order that their enemies would turn around and go home. Archaeological evidence shows that statues of Molech were built. These were made out of bronze. They were hollow inside, or mostly hollow, and Molech would have had a head of a bull and a body of a human. So these were human-sized gods, idols. The arms were outstretched like this, with an angle. And right here, there was either a hole or a grate placed in the chest of the god Molech. And underneath was a place where you could insert wood and build a fire inside this idol. And they would burn that wood and blow on it until the bronze began to glow red. And then they would take their own babies and put them on the arms and roll them right into the belly of the fire. That was the more humane version. The ones that had a grate
the body of the baby would roll onto the grate and it would just sear and fry. And while it was crying and screaming, the people screamed in a religious frenzy. All so that your crops would grow better, so that the marauding bands wouldn't come around your place, so that the enemy would turn tail and run. And the Israelites, people who had God's word, people who knew better, who knew that we were all created in the image of God, that life, human life, was sacred, fell into their belief, believed the lie. And it's not just the children who are victims, they're victims. In fact, this verse says that the whole country, the whole nation, is one huge sin because of their sin. The parents were victims too. I mean, how did they feel when they gave their own flesh and blood as a sacrifice and then their crops died anyway? Or the marauding band came and raided their fields and their home? How did they feel when the enemy didn't turn back around but came and defeated them? When they realized all of it was a lie. Parents today go through all kinds of grief and guilt after they abort their children. The parents were victims too. Post-abortion syndrome, otherwise known as PAS, is a delayed reaction of guilt, depression, even suicidal feelings, and the delay can last as long as 10 years. And while it is predominantly the women who go through PAS, men go through it as well. Sometimes it takes a lot of years. So this is the person's real name, no last name, but Amy wrote before, "For the first 6 years after my abortion, I could have taken a pro-choice sign and marched with it. Amy, after 6 years, I know my life will go on, but I will never be able to forget that I selfishly murdered my child." Grief. Pain. Not unlike Matthew 2, 17 through 18. "Then the word spoken through the prophet Jeremiah came true. A sound was heard in Ramah, the sound of crying and bitter grief. Rachel was crying for her children. She refused to be comforted because they were dead." And it's not just the people who have been taught Christian principles, who've been taught that life is sacred, that believe in the sanctity of life, but then go against their beliefs and have abortions that then later feel grief and guilt. The non-churched also experience delayed grief and guilt of PAS. After all, they discover that it was a lie. No, my life is not going to get better after this procedure. They discover, no, my relationships aren't going to be better. My material goods are not going to be greater because I've gone through this. All they're left with is a dead baby and a family's grief. So why am I talking about this? I mean, this is hard. Well, because it's real. And because nobody else is talking about it. And because we need to talk about it from a Christian perspective, from a biblical perspective. Human life is sacred. And so this congregation, almost every year, on the Sunday closest to the passing of Roe v. Wade on January 22 of 1973, spends time, it thinks about the consequences of legalized abortion. Christians must respond to Herodism. And how can we respond? Well, we can change laws. And we have. We are making progress. We're making it harder to get an abortion, making it take longer. It's becoming more and more rare, and it's working. We are electing pro-life leaders, and that's making a difference. And we can influence those who are indeed in crisis pregnancy. We can help them understand that life is precious, that human life is sacred, that yes, it's hard. Yes, it's difficult. Yes, it's a crisis. We can listen to them, but we can also love them and care for them and offer to help them. We can support pro-life causes financially. There are a couple of pregnancy care centers, the one that we're supporting with these goods that we're all collected as you've brought them in or as were brought in at the baby shower that the ladies did for the pregnancy center. These are all going to go to moms, to families, to babies who might have otherwise been aborted. So we're excited about that. And there are other ways to help as well. We can support them financially. Today, if you write on your offering check in the memo line, if you write there resources for women or pregnancy care center, either of those, then that check will go to resources for women, which is over in Gardner Ridge. There's also another pregnancy care center over in New Braunfels nearby. So you could do the next thing here, volunteer time and prayers. If you live closer to New Braunfels, that's a great place too. But right here in Gardner Ridge, right off in Nacogdoches, volunteer time. And if you can't volunteer time there, you can help with your prayers. And that you can do any day, every day. However, the most important response is to share the love and forgiveness with women whose lives have been devastated by abortion. To show our love, to show our care, to show that God cares and that He loves them. The pro-life community has led the way in reaching out to hurting women, both in crisis pregnancy as well as after the pregnancy or even after an abortion. And you're on the front lines. Some people will never go to a pregnancy care center, but they will come to you. And they'll tell you about the struggles that they're going through. And they'll see how you react and how you respond. And they'll be able to tell if you're being judgmental or if you're being loving and caring. And they'll be able to tell that you see life as sacred. And you can tell them. You can tell them, yeah, it's going to be hard. I'm here to help. I want to help. The main message is God's forgiveness. God's forgiveness. So how much forgiveness does an abortion clinic doctor need? Same amount as I do. Same amount as you do. Same amount as Jesus offered when he was nailed upon that cross and forsaken by God. We're not any better. The main message is forgiveness. Many only see the church pointing an accusing finger, and we need to help people, all people, see differently. We need to help people see that it's God's hand of love that reaches out in our hand toward them. That it's God's hand of forgiveness that forgives them. That it's God's hand of mercy. That it's God's hand of change. What if Herod had repented, believed the gospel, and worshiped the Christ he wanted dead? Yes, God's love is that big. To the woman who was caught in adultery, Jesus said, "I don't condemn you either. Go, from now on, don't sin." They're crying out for healing. Most don't know where or how to find it. But you have an opportunity. Will you help them? Will you help them see the light of God's love and grace and forgiveness? Maybe you have a secret grief, a regret. Maybe you have struggled or are struggling with PAS right now. To you, I say, trust God's love. Trust God's healing. Forgive yourself. Jesus already has. Isaiah 61:1-3. "The Spirit of the Almighty Lord is with me because the Lord has anointed me to deliver good news to humble people. He has sent me to heal those who are brokenhearted, to comfort all those who grieve, to give them crowns instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of tears of grief, and clothes of praise instead of a spirit of weakness. How do we respond? How do you and I respond to Herodism today? Share love and forgiveness. God helping us, may we do that. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for freely giving us your love and your forgiveness, for answering our prayers and giving us the will to wait for whatever's best. We thank you for new employment opportunities and a successful new business for the Simmons, for $235,000 given so far to our Therefore Go Building Fund. We thank you for all the blessings and resources you've entrusted to our care and your promise to multiply them to build a bigger heaven and better lives. We ask that you would inspire and empower us to recognize the pain and sorrow of delayed guilt and grief, to share real love, forgiveness, and healing with victims of Herodism. You bless missionary Alex and the people of Renacer en Cristo as they reach out to people in Rio Branco, Brazil, and beyond. That you bless our government to provide justice and protection for the good of all its people. That you bless our leaders with your wisdom and guidance, that they would lead according to your will. That you bless victims of hatred, persecution, violence, and disaster. That you bless and protect our troops and their families, especially Brandon, Isaac, and Juan. That you bless federal employees who are not receiving a paycheck and for a resolution to the impasse. We pray for newer, better employment for Jamie, Anne Marie, and Mark. We pray for a healthy pregnancy and delivery for Kelly, Stacy, and Aaron. We pray for peace for Ruth as she continues in long-term care. That you would comfort the family and friends of Katie, Judy, Brian, Lois, and of the father of Joanne as they mourn their deaths. We pray for healing for Milagro, Peggy, Al, Neil, Jean, Robin, Jamie, Coleman, Bob, Ray, Adriana, Hayden, Rick, Paul, Monica, Martha, William, Denise, Ashley, Amanda, Estella, Marty, Ed, Jan, Diana, Forrest, Sam, Charlie, Marianne, Larry, Ginger, Greg, TJ, Rufus, Morgan, Chris, Emma, Brad, Riley, Wesley, Lyle. We also pray for those who are battling cancer, for Edna, Joan, Elward, Lola, Roxanne, Carrie, Ada, Jean, Lawrence, Tom, Antonio, Kathy, Jeanette, Fred, Sarah, Cheryl, Twyla, Ann, Harold, and that you would strengthen their families, and that you would soften hardened hearts and bring them into a relationship with you. We pray this all in the name of Jesus. Amen. I'm going to ask you to reach out a hand in blessing, and we're going to say a prayer of blessing upon these items, these gifts. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise for the generosity of people who've given these gifts and are giving financial gifts. Lord, we pray that those who receive these gifts, the moms, the kids, the dads, that you would be active in their life and that you would touch their lives with your love, with your grace, with your compassion, that they might know your presence in their life and experience your love and grace and forgiveness, and that we might indeed connect with them, if not in life, then in heaven. Lord, we pray that you would continue to be with them, to grant them courage and strength and comfort and peace as they go through difficult times. Lord, we pray that you would empower us to help in whatever way we can in our community. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Receive a blessing from the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you his peace. Amen. Oh, oh, oh.
Every single day of your life, I'm the whisper inside, won't let you forget. Hello, my name is Defeat. I know you recognize me. Just when you think you can win, I'll drag you right back down again till you lost all belief. things new has proven it's true. Just take a look at my life. Hello, my name is Child of the One True King. I've been saved, I've been changed, I have been set free. Amazing grace is the song I sing. Hello, my name is Child of the One True King. Child of the One True King, what love the Father has lavished upon us that we should be called His children.